Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Sherry Denham and all of your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. How's your life going? We could help you get a new one. You could trade that old one in and just bring this one right in. Really would make a difference.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son, who's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends. Okay, so number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here on this wonderful day of summer. And I'll tell you, I'm just glad. You know, I'm from Indianapolis. By the way, joining me, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, hello.
And, you know, we're just glad to have some sunny weather. We had so much rain. John, you've been spending time in Indianapolis. You know how wet it got. Mm-hmm. I tell you, it was so bad. I saw a frog drown. It was, and we were sending the kids out. You know, if they wanted to play in the yard, we had to put the water wings on them, the little inflatable things, because it was just that wet. So
you know what that means? Some big mosquitoes are
around
the corner.
Well, I'll tell you,
big bugs. Aren't there big bugs there too?
Well, I don't know that I've seen a big bug.
Well, you wait.
Well,
that much
he thought
water?
They were water wings, but it was a mosquito, Sherry.
Yeah. They're changing the state bird to a flying fish, from what I understand. I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm
it's
just saying
a large
it was
mosquito.
It was flying mosquito is the new state bird. Anyway, I'm just saying it was wet. We're glad that you're with us today. Thank you. Maybe you're in a car, maybe you're in your kitchen listening. Maybe you're driving that truck. We love our truckers. Perhaps you're at the office or at lunch. Wherever you are, I know that God is there with you. I know the problem is sometimes we don't feel God's presence, but God is there. He didn't go away.
Sometimes his presence is there because he wants his presence to go away. You know, there's all these times in Scripture when a person can't feel God, and yet we're supposed to walk in faith. So just because you don't feel him, A, it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong all the time. Oh, gosh, I'm not being spiritual enough.
Right.
And B, it might be because God's saying, I've given you information and love and grace and memories, and walk on the water a bit or jump in there. So don't feel bad because you don't always feel God. It may be a good growth experience.
Well, if you always felt God, you wouldn't need any faith. He would just be there, so it'd be, okay, well, here's proof every single day. But, you know, here's something that I've always wondered about. When people say that they have heard the audible voice of God, if you have heard the audible voice of God, wouldn't that just cause you to sell everything and just minister all over the world and because you have heard from the God of the universe in an audible voice? I mean, it just seems like it would be such a spectacular event that you'd stop what you were doing right then and change your life forever.
This is one of those situations where you're thinking way too healthy, Steve, because you are healthy, and that is what a normal response would be. But Pharaoh spoke, I mean, God spoke to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And God spoke to lots of people, and you know that psychological term, compartmentalization?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, so the one of the universe spoke, and then 10 minutes later is like, yeah, I'm busy. I mean, we have an incredible ability to compartmentalize.
Especially, and we do. But sometimes he comes to us with that still, small voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that ought to just turn your life around.
But here's the deal.
I've heard the Lord speak to me. So, I mean, I believe he can talk to us.
Let me say a negative thing here that we need to know. He doesn't do it forever. If we don't hear that voice, the loud one or the soft one, there's a window, I believe.
Yeah.
Because I can't give you a million.
I'm going to tell you, John.
The window closes sometimes.
John, I rededicated my life, and for the next 6 months, I'd open the Bible, and it jumped out at me. I knew stuff. It was unbelievable. And then the door shut. Yeah. It wasn't because of some sin or something. I was moving into a different time.
The lottery ticket isn't always paying off. Right?
So what if you keep asking him to open the window?
If you're asking.
Well,
I am.
I want it. I've been doing it this weekend.
But don't blow him off.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and we're glad that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. Joining us on the phone right now is Cindy from Fullerton, California, listening on KKLA. Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. Good. But how about you?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I'm doing all right. I am calling because I think that I might be, well, actually, I pretty much fit the vacillator kind of personality group, I guess, if you want to call it.
Tell us some of the things that you do that make you think that you're a vacillator.
Okay. Well, my emotions pretty much swing back and forth. I'm constantly kind of divided between kind of my head and my heart. I, you know, at moments feel like something is really right, and it's great. A relationship I'm in right now, a new one. Crazy about the guy, and then the next minute, oh, I'm not really sure, a little bit afraid, but it seems right, but then I don't really know, and that kind of has been kind of a pattern. And
it bothers you.
Yeah, it causes some anxiety and uncertainty, and basically, like I said, this new relationship, four months old, and great guy, different than me. Mm-hmm. But
well, how much
really
were you? How much were you idealizing him in the beginning? Do you think that was an issue? Your idealization of him.
Can you describe what that means? It's a little bit technical for some people sometimes too.
You just saw nothing bad in the guy.
Right.
Everything was
perfect,
spectacular, and good, and
no,
wonderful.
No. I feel like I saw a lot of good, but being also a little bit apprehensive and kind of a realist, I think I was still kind of like, oh, well, getting to know him and, you know, kind of questioning a few things here
okay.
and there about how our personalities click and whatnot. So
all right.
I think I still, you know, I would still kind of question and slowly get to know him.
Okay.
You know? But
so what's
there
the
are
question?
Moments
what's
when
the...
I'm not with him and I'm like thinking about him a lot.
Yeah.
And then other moments I'm like, oh, I don't really know. And just basically my question is, you know, I guess in this new dating relationship, how do you know the difference, say, between, you know, something that just isn't right between or just being a vacillator and maybe having to kind of think through and talk through certain fears that might be there or whether it's something I just need to end, you know? I feel a little bit conflicted.
No. If only for the purposes of learning how to move out of vacillation, keep dating this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an important issue, and you're going to screw up all the rest of your relationships. So stick with this guy, and we'll give you some tips. But, yeah, don't leave because you're vacillating.
Yeah.
You don't want to condemn yourself to a life of this, right?
Now, also, don't move forward with him into marriage in less than a year. You know, you need to have a year of dating minimum before you move any
yeah.
closer there, but
is he really kind of stable, grounded, calm,
oh my
cool,
goodness.
Collect?
Steady Eddie?
Completely. Like, I'm a mess, right? You know, I mean, I kind of am all over the map. I'm an extrovert. I'm a feeler. I'm just, you know, kind of figuring out, oh, God, what do you want me to do in my future? I'm 29. I don't, kind of vocation is still up in the air. He's, you know,
You know who you are.
He's consulting. He's stable, responsible. Yeah. He's loyal.
Well,
and,
let me tell you kind of how I describe it, because I probably have in my practice, I probably have three quarters or vacillators, okay? Because I deal with people that have been hurt a lot. And so this is how I describe it. Vacillators to me are kind of like suns, and they are often attracted to people like moons, okay? Like if you think about what a sun looks like, if you look, you know, close, there's all these like bursts of molten lava. And
actually, then you go blind. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, you know, we had the filters
pushing
on,
the analogy,
you know. But yeah, it's very exciting. Life, action, right? And then, but the sun is attracted to the moon, right? The moon is just kind of there. Stable, solid. Mm-hmm. And moons like the sun because they kind of get warmed in the ray of all that excitement. It's like that's when they shine, is in the reflection of the sun, right? The moons
sure.
do.
Sure.
But over time, you've got to be careful because the sun and the moon actually are really different a lot. And I look at that avoider, vacillator, match. There's this, you know, connection that happens between an avoider and a vacillator in the book How We Love. And so the eventually what'll happen is because the avoidance are avoidance, they'll stop pursuing the sun. And the sun starts to lose interest. And the sun starts to feel like you're not really coming for me and I can't get your attention anymore, but they'll give themselves up to get the moon's stability. But you really have to start how you heal as a vacillator. I love vacillators. I always tell them, you guys are some of the most amazing, connective people I will ever meet if you can get redeemed. But you have to learn how to start bringing your vulnerability. Kind of like John said, don't give up yet. Don't just pull out. You've got to learn how to start bringing your fear to this relationship.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you feel like you want to move away, you have to start talking about that. I'm really
yeah.
starting to get afraid. Like
sure.
I want to run from you and I,
sure.
you know, I need to offer that to you. I don't know what you're going to do with that, but you have to start bringing more of your brokenness than,
yeah.
you know.
And here's
yeah.
a radical statement. Don't marry somebody because they provide the stability in your life
no.
that you don't have.
Absolutely.
Because so many people are saying,
the interesting part is that at the beginning when I met him, I actually wasn't attracted to that personality. I wanted someone like myself.
Yeah.
I wanted someone who was exciting and crazy, and I wanted to go serve and do all these crazy things.
What are your girlfriends? What do your girlfriends say about this guy?
My girlfriends were like, Cindy, this may be good for you. Like,
okay.
you.
That's what John was saying.
This guy is. Like, this may be good. You don't want somebody like yourself.
Cindy, can I tell you what normal is?
Yes.
All right. Normal in the dating world is we're an experiment. You, me and Sam are an experiment. You're a nice person. I'm a nice person. I don't know if it's there for us. So I'm going to go fishing with you. I'm going to go to church with you. I'm going to meet your parents. We're going to go jogging. We're going to have 1,000 different strange experiences. And you'll hang around my friends. And I'm just listening and recording and watching how I feel and how you react. And then over time, we cross some line. I go, I've spent enough time with you. You know, we all here think it's at least a year. And after a year, I go, you know, fish or cut bait. That's normal, okay? What you're saying is that's not working for me. And the reason it's not working, I want to kind of come back to Sherry's point. What I would want to tell you to do would be to get to normal, where you're just taking in information and seeing how it is and seeing how it feels and see how the values are, is that when you get a snag with the guy and you're off with a friend, I don't know because he's, who knows, he's got not enough hair, too much hair, too loud, too soft, to talk about that and put that on the negative side, but keep getting that, filling up that debit credit sheet. And that's what helps a vacillator. Instead of running, disconnecting, or getting so discouraged because they go back and forth, just keep bringing the negative stuff you feel into relationship. That's what normal is. It gets you to normal, and then you can make a decision.
Wow. Okay, so you mean talk about it with him or talk about it with my girlfriend?
No, I would not want to put the poor sucker through that.
No.
Now, my point is, you don't redeem. When Sherry talked about redeeming their vacillatorship-hood, just made up a word.
Yeah, good.
You don't redeem it with the guy you're dating. You know, you go to people who are healthy and say, don't tell me what to do here. Help me be a place to explore. He picked his nose in the whatever. Or he was really kind to that little old lady or whatever. And they just listen. And the fact that you're in relationship begins to redeem it. You begin to integrate. And integrate is the big word. for vacillators. But find a couple of safe places, maybe three friends, spiritual director, counselor, a couple more friends, and just bring your negative, I don't know, he turned me off, into relationship, and you will get into normal. It integrates you.
You know what I wish I could do is put a chip in a single person's brain that would allow them just to go have a good time and get to know somebody and not struggle over
because
this thing.
Because that's normal.
Yeah. See, and get all upset.
It's how we get a job. It's how we find our faith.
Yeah.
It's how we decide where to work out.
Right.
We just do that without a lot of drama. And if we can make dating like that, it's a cool process and it works fine.
Okay. I'll send you Loving People. I hope that will be a great book for you. Why are you chuckling?
I'm rolling
Sherry
my eyes.
Sherry is rolling her
I
eyes at us,
my
Steve.
Eyes.
Why are you
What's
rolling,
the rolling
your eyes?
About?
Why?
Because I had quite a challenging weekend in the dating world.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Is he listening to the show right now?
He might be. They probably both are. I went out on two dates this weekend, and I'm telling you, it was a wild ride. So I hear what you guys are saying, the little computer chip, and I'm going, yeah, in an ideal world.
Like not as easy as it seems?
Well, you know what? It just depends. Like, you know, with Cindy's age, right? I mean, she's in that young 29. There's lots of folks
Aren't
at
you 29?
29. You know, I am 29. No, I'm not. I'm in my 40s. And so in that zone, you think about it, there's some more wounds, baggage, hurt, fear. So, you know, I went out with a moon this weekend. And
And
it didn't go very well because I have learned how to bring myself to relationship. So I was just being genuine. The gentleman walks through the door and tells me he knows where. I invited him to my house, but he knew when my house was built and how many square feet it was. And he told me that within the first 2 to 3 minutes. So I asked him, I said, well, did you get my Social Security number as well?
That is the first question you would ask.
I mean, I'm telling you, I didn't hide. I didn't like, but I thought, what is this? And it was just, a long evening of honest conversation, but hard conversation. So, you know, it doesn't always go that way.
It doesn't go that way. But I don't think Steve, so I'm putting words in your mouth. This is really important for our listening audience, especially those in the dating world. I don't think Steve was saying to do that in the relationship. The computer chip is sort of me saying, there's not much at stake here. If I have a good time, great.
Yep.
And I kind of de-invest from the outcome.
There you go.
So if I can de-invest from the outcome, when a guy says something like, yeah, here's your Social Security number, I go, okay, weird, you know, it goes in the weird check mark book and I move on, as opposed to kind of screwing me up inside.
Here's another thing.
I got a couple emails afterwards.
Okay.
So, you know.
It was disruptive.
It was. I mean, it's hard. Yeah. It is. You got to kind of pick yourself up. I'm just talking to those listeners that, you know, because I'm doing the 20 dates thing, you know, and this was 18 and 19, right?
Woo-hoo! Oh, wow.
I'm getting near the end. But, you know, this weekend I was like, boy, that 18 and 19 was a wild ride.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to just pick myself up. I'm not going on any dates this next weekend. I'm giving myself a little break. But, you know. There's been, honestly, 17 wonderful gentlemen that I've met.
That's really a great thing.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, I said computer chip because it's kind of hard to do it. So I was saying I wish I had a computer chip to make. But something else that I think is kind of cool is if you go on a date and you think of those who will come after you. You try to leave this person in better shape than when they walked to the door. Because you're certainly not going to date them again, but you want to help the next person who may be told what their square footage is. And
I totally get it. And I offered that to him. I went vulnerable. I kind of did what I invited Cindy to do. I actually went vulnerable. But
let
the
me
bottom
tell you how
line,
that affected me.
The bottom line ended up in rejection because it wasn't a step forward. And rejection hurts.
It sure does.
We act wacky when we get rejected,
right.
Whether it's I'm the windshield or the bug, and I've been both, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm the windshield, sometimes I'm the bug.
Yeah.
And it hurts when you experience rejection. And sometimes you do things to the other person that are unnecessary because of your pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, think about it before you react and hurt them back.
Sometimes the best thing a person can do is to go get sales manager training. Because rejection is built into the system. Yep. Because otherwise, the old baggage from past marriages and family of origin issues comes up, and it gets the dating thing messed up. I just think that all of us need to have the ability to go, somebody told me no 14 times today, and it was still a good day. Because otherwise, it
we
just
need
gets,
help with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need help with that.
You know, when I was on the 20 date journey, number one, here I hadn't dated in so long. And we're talking, and I explain my situation, and she says to me, oh, so that's why you're so emotionally unavailable. And I'm thinking, wow. Here you are representing the entire female gender, and you can't be nice to me for 15 minutes. You can't just be nice and say nice, superficial things. Anyway, that lasted a long time. But I didn't give up. Just
good.
Because it was
good.
Total rejection there.
Yeah.
And Isaiah says that Jesus set his face like a flint. Yeah. Sometimes we've got to set our face like a flint.
We do.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back for the second half of New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website newlife.com. That's where you can get help.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Nancy from Oakdale, California, listens on KADV. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
My question is, and I've called the show at previous times in this process, so thank you for your advice. I've used it, and it's helped me out. My question is, how do I handle a funeral donation for my dad's passing, given by an ex-boyfriend whom I had an emotional affair with?
Okay, so your father
passed
died.
Away.
Yes.
And a person you had an emotional affair with has given money out of respect for your father?
Yes.
Are you married, Nancy?
Yes, I am. And I was at the time I was involved in this emotional affair. I confessed to my husband. There had been other infidelities leading up to our marriage. We had some issues that I couldn't face up to, and that was kind of the way I dealt with it.
Okay, why would you not take the donation?
Yes, the issue is my husband feels very strongly that he's been humiliated by this person. And he has in his mind that this guy is walking around thinking, you know what, she was married to him, but
I was still
the one kind
of
loved.
Involved with her. And so he is very much in the warpath mode. Because of this and, you know, the other infidelities I mentioned to you, everything has become a question of loyalty. So he's...
Send it back.
I'm sorry?
Send it back.
Yeah, it's like
not worth it. Not worth it.
Everything I have to do, any opportunity I get, I have to prove my loyalty.
Sure.
And if that requires stamping out the other person, then he doesn't care.
That's not stamping out, Nancy. You're not stamping out anything. You're
saying. Well, I think it's a little humiliating, and since it involves a death, it's a little bit in bad taste. But
that's really not true. That's
it's
not true.
Not?
No. Your father passed away, and you're honoring him in many other ways. And you have a marriage in crisis, and you're doing... Steve has a really good book about making restitution that we'll send you. But you're making restitution to show your husband you really changed and you repented and you want to be healthy. And so for the sake of your marriage, you send the money back. And the man's an adult. People get checks sent back all the time. He's not going to be humiliated or devastated. It's just a small price to pay for a big problem. Just send it back.
All right. I'm glad you called us, and we'll send you the book Transformation. I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Let's talk with Janice from Denver, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. How about you? What's going on?
Well, I have a question for you. The other day on your show, you talked to a gentleman who had a problem with getting in a relationship, and then all of a sudden they ended.
Yeah.
And you gave really good advice for the guys. But why does that happen to us girls?
Okay. And so the question for us would be, why does it happen, or for you, or for women in general?
I've had this happen 3 times.
Mm.
And it's just like everything's going spectacular. I mean... We go on dates, spend massive time together.
Do you think this happens more with men doing it than women doing it, Janice?
I don't know.
I think there's casualties on both sides. So is the question, why do people bail all of a sudden impulsively, or is the question, why do women get dumped on more?
Well, I don't know. You explained very clearly why it happens. You said because the guy was being complacent and just doing whatever and, you know, going along, and he needed to add a little friction into the relationship.
No, I got it. I'm asking on the day of that show, did we make it sound like that was a guy thing? Because it's really not. It's a people thing.
Okay, my problem is they don't just... the relationship doesn't end. They just... drop off the face of the earth.
Right.
They're not being respectful.
They're not respectful. They bail.
Well, without a fault. I mean, like the last date I have is everything's wonderful. I'm going to call you tomorrow, and we actually had plans for the following weekend.
So you've got a research project to do. You need to sit down and recontact 3 or 4 of these guys until you can get someone to tell you what it was that put them over the edge or caused them to just drop off the face of the earth, that would cause them not to respect you enough to say, hey, this isn't working.
There's more than one reason is what Steve's saying. I mean, Sherry, I'm in the middle of this. You've seen this happen.
Oh, I have. How old are you, can I ask, Janice?
52.
Okay. Well, precisely my point.
Old enough to know better.
Well,
I don't know.
We are, my dear. But I was just sharing with the gentleman here. I said, you know, it's... maybe it's just me, but, you know, it just seems like the older we get, the more hurt we become, and we start doing things that hurt other people. Hurting people hurt people, and some of the more wounded people are us as singles. We have issues. Hi, my name is Sherry. I have issues in the single world, or I wouldn't be here, right? And I'm dating men that are in the single world that have issues, and we hurt each other, and I don't know, we need to stop it. Because we're just trying to get to know one another. We can be friends and offer truth to one another. But because of those wounds, sometimes we do things that end up creating more wounds.
Yeah.
And I hear almost a little fear starting to create in you. Like, what's happening here? I've had this happen 3 times.
Yeah.
Well, it might be you. Like Steve said, there might be some pattern, something that you're doing. But it might be the men that you're picking.
Yeah. In fact, when we come back, let's talk about one of the things that happens when you date men like us, a common thing that happens when they're dating a woman and then just make it end quickly and abruptly.
We'll and I've got a coaching tip.
All right, so we'll do that right after this break.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking about dating with Janice, and I just want to make the point that sometimes men are really hurting, and they get excited about a new person to date, and then after a couple of dates, they realize that that person isn't fixing what's deep down inside. It doesn't, and it didn't provide the instant solution to everything, and so they just say, forget it, I'll go on to somebody else, and they never, ever get better, and they never, ever take care of the wound that produces this kind of separation. John, you had some thoughts about coaching, you said.
Well, it was triggered by what Sherry said about the whole, I'm sure that we, how did you say it, Sherry? Like, I know that in your case, the
right.
Women bring their own issues in.
Right.
So you got the crazy guy who's dumping you, and then you got the woman who's going, well, what's that about?
And then you got most of us that are normal that are wounded.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And what I always tell people in that world is, let's go back to Matthew 23, where Jesus said, clean out the cup. We all have a cup inside. And I think the problem is you bring your cup into the dating world. It leaks in there.
Nice.
And so what I tell the Janices of the world, Janice, you're just to kind of represent everybody struggling with this, is put high investment into your non-dating life and your non-dating relationships. Put more than you generally do. Go out to dinners. Go rollerblading. Go to movies. Go to, you know, gourmet classes. Put more investment in them. Get a lot out of them.
Yeah.
And be vulnerable. Put low investment into the dating relationship. You're still involved. You're still swinging the bat. You get
right.
to know this. But you don't kind of go into this, it's important whether or not this works out. And when you put high energy and high time investment into the one, you're cleaning out the cup. You're getting healthy.
That's right.
And then it's sort of like whether the guy's a screwball or not, then you're okay.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I actually went back to my small group to lick my wounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yep.
it impacted me. I can't
sure.
help it. I'm a human being, right?
Right?
We are impacted by other people. But funny, I went to a concert that next night that they had here, a Christian concert, and one of the people from my small group came up to me and he said, how's your heart? And I said, not so well.
Wow.
I said, I'm reeling from a date.
Yeah.
And but he was able to talk with me about it. I shared with him what happened, and I felt loved up again. Mm-hmm. I mean, mean, that if all I had was my dating world, that could have wiped me out for a while.
Yeah.
But it didn't, because I have my tribe, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to share, Steve, I think sometimes as women, we get so engulfed or enmeshed with a man. Like, we get so excited that someone's pursuing us, mm-hmm. that we, like, want to spend all our time. We may call them or text them or just overwhelm them with our connectedness. And if they've had mom issues in the past, that can feel really glommy to a man.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm out of here.
Yep.
You know, they may not know why they're out of here, but it's just they feel better distancing themselves from you than being in the glom.
Right. Right.
All right. I'm going to send I'm going to send Avoiding Mr. Wrong, and
all
you're
right.
going to send what?
Boundaries and Dating.
All right. Boundaries and Dating. Two great books there.
Best wishes, Janice.
All right. Let's talk to Kester from Syracuse, New York. She listens on her droid, it says. So, thank you. Kester, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. It's actually a he.
But, hi, Kester.
My question is, I've been married for 11 years.
Uh-huh.
And my wife admitted to me 3 years ago, because she was doing weight loss, that she cheated on me with her personal trainer.
Mm. Oh, man.
but it's been 3 years, and she still goes to the same gym. And
where the personal trainer is?
Yeah.
No. We don't do that. I mean, that is such an insult to you that she goes to a place where she knows she's going to cross path with the guy that she had the affair with. It's horrible. I'm just putting myself in your place.
It is.
You've been humiliated by this guy, and now it's a daily humiliation because she's still talking to him. He still has access to her.
Yes.
You like that answer?
Yes, I do.
Well, what
I feel like I'm the only one that feels that way.
Is that why you're calling, Kester, to ask us if that's okay or not? Is that the nature of the call?
Yeah, because she seems to have gotten away. I mean, the people at our church, we went to counseling. They've all told her that she needs to leave, but... she still doesn't, and to me, her conscience just isn't there. She keeps doing it and said, because she's not doing anything, it doesn't mean, but if she's eating at me,
well,
I don't know.
Of course it is.
Believe her or not, you know.
The issue isn't whether or not she has feelings for the guy. The issue is, are you guys growing closer together or not?
It's how she impacts his heart.
Yeah, that's right.
How can we help you, Kester?
So my dilemma is, since we've been together this long, I'm wrapped up into my wife, and I really don't want to lose her, but I don't really want to continue living like this either.
If she changed that part, would you feel better about the marriage?
Yes. That's what I've been telling her for the past 2 years.
Here's what I'd be saying. I have two requests, and your response to the request, I think, indicate the direction the marriage is going. I don't want you to go to that gym because I feel humiliated by this man. And when you have access to him and you talk with him, I feel humiliated all over again. And I want you to go to something together for us to try to grow closer together. I would prefer it be a New Life weekend, but maybe there's something else. But you do two things. You ask her to stop one thing and to do something that might build your connection together.
Do you guys have kids?
No, we don't.
Well, let me give you an analogy. Suppose your wife had a real weight problem, and so she knows she can't have,
ice cream
in the house, and it's been a struggle. She got up to 180. It was horrible for her. She felt bad about it. She worked really hard. She got her weight down. And you go, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, and I'm bringing, 18 gallons of ice cream in the house all the time. Now, if I put that to your wife and said, Betty, do you want Kester to do that? In her right mind, she'd say, no, that's really insensitive because he knows I'm vulnerable there.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to put, unless she's so far gone, she has no, what we call, the technical term for this is empathic ability, the ability to feel how you or affecting someone else, if she can't feel empathically, you've got a real problem, and you need to get something, the New Life Weekend or something, Kester. But put the question to her, is, are you telling me then, let me show you understand, because we need to live together another 40 years, that I can do anything I want, no matter how it impacts you, that it hits a vulnerable spot, or it's old relationships, or something, and as long as I'm not doing anything wrong, it doesn't matter how I impact you, honey. Is that our ground rule of marriage? A lot of times the light will come on for people. Well, no, I mean, what you do impacts me. Well, what you do with this trainer impacts me. It's huge. I know you may not be doing anything wrong, but you affect me. That's marriage, is you affect me. You got to put that to her.
Okay.
And you know what I loved hearing? It was very subtle, Kester, but I loved hearing how you rose up in your man state when Steve talk to you.
It's true.
I heard this fire in your belly, like you laughed, and then I heard this man go, ah, like among other men. And I don't know, do you have some men folk that are around you right now that can help to speak into your life?
Currently I don't. I'm in search of, you know, different outreaches, but I currently don't. I feel alone.
Oh man, Kester, I heard it. It was lovely. I'm a woman here, and I heard your man. Like, it was like you just rose up. You're like, yeah, you know, like with John and Steve. And you need that, my friend, because that will help get you strong again. You've got to get hooked into a group of men that can help you navigate through this water, because that strength is what she's not seeing right now. And she's experiencing you giving her too much slack.
Yeah.
When you get that men beget men, right? And I just can see your strength coming at her and being like, this is not okay. But you got your man tribe to back you up.
That's right. So. Okay. I'm going to send you every woman's battle for her, and I'll send you every man God's man. I have an analogy, John. Imagine your wife is a sweet little bird, and there's a poisonous maggot on the ground, and she eats some of the poisonous maggot and gets really sick. Mm-hmm. And she wants to fly back to that maggot again. Now, to me, that's an analogy. Yep. Because this man who slept with her, who's still taking a part of her, he's God loves him, but he's doing some maggotry there that he needs to stop doing.
You got to demaggotize that relationship.
Absolutely. All right. I hope that's helpful to you. You're listening to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Sherry Denham. We're going to go to our final segment right after this, but we have another program we'll do after this, so hang on. Now, we need your help. It's summer. It's smack dab in the middle of it. We need your help. And if there's any way that you would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com? If God's leading you to do that, then please do respond and help us help others. All right, we'll be back for our final segment after this. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's talk with Lee from Phoenix, Arizona. KNXN is the station. Hello, Lee.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy to speak with you all.
Well, we're happy to speak with you. I was in your nice city for about 45 minutes today when I flew out of Indiana at 4 a.m. in the morning. Yes.
So you didn't melt in the airport? Cause
no,
it was,
I didn't. But it does get hot there. It wasn't 120
yet.
It does get quite hot there in the summer.
But it's a dry heat.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Lee?
Right. Everything dries.
I love the dry. I grew up in Phoenix, so I love that dry heat. I still do not. I got into my car today. I did not turn the air conditioner on for about 15 minutes because I just love that dry heat.
All right. How can we help you?
Well, I have a real fragile situation. My daughter is diagnosed with an eating disorder. She's in residential treatment right now.
Okay.
Which has been the best decision I've made, I believe.
Great. Really good. Good to hear that.
And, you know, I was figuring out where she should go, and there's not very many places, but I did find a place that takes her insurance. That's a godsend. But the real problem is that she's there, and she's in denial, and she doesn't really believe that she should be there as long as they want her. And I have limited contact until I start to enter the picture and go up there for parent support meetings and that kind of thing. But to make the matters worse, she has a boyfriend. She's 17, and she has a boyfriend that she has limited contact with. Hasn't seen, lives somewhere else, and he is extremely controlling, and then just his scruples really showed when all this happened. And I guess my question is, how should I handle this boyfriend situation as far as contact and things like that when she gets out, when she comes home? Because when she comes home, it's a whole nother dynamics.
Okay, great question. John, you have a thought?
Well, when you said he lives in another area, I just want to get a kind of feel for the logistics. So where does he, you know, what's his access to her? Is he a plane ride away? And secondly,
access is internet.
Okay, so they're not going to see each other face-to-face, it's just internet?
We had planned on it, and I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, and now that all this happened, I prayed to God. I said, you know, if you don't want this to happen in July, close the door. Well, he closed it all right.
All right.
So we're not going.
When
and then
you
the
said when you said he's controlled, when he's
friends are telling me that they never liked him either. So.
Lee, when you say he's controlling, we need some specifics.
Okay. Well, I had a bad feeling when I met him, but I went ahead and just kind of tried to stay open about it because when your daughter's dating somebody, you always probably don't like who it is until you really know them. But he started sending me, when she went into residential care, he started sending me very negative, condescending, horrible emails and attached some negative reviews of the place she's at and just slammed me with four or five emails that same night. And I called the mom and I said, look, he's crossing boundaries and he was trying to call this residential treatment facility. And so that really showed me. And then I was able to access some information my daughter has and found out that she, all along, has kind of had the inkling that he's very controlling, meaning he tries to set things and do things before she agrees. And
so, Lee,
he doesn't let her really have a say.
How did your daughter learn how to get comfortable with controlling men? And she's in an eating disorder rehab center. So control is a big issue for her. Where did she learn this behavior?
Well, I went through a horrible divorce, and it was she was used as the pawn in the middle of it, not by me. I really tried not to do that. I didn't do it, but this man I was married to was very controlling and manipulative, and she's been very hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I'm a single parent, so I think I it feels to her like there's a lot of control, maybe, because I have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm real concerned about her coming back.
All right, Lee, let me give you sort of a formula. She's moving on 18, so she's probably senior in high school now?
Yeah.
So she's got another year with you before she does whatever.
Right.
Right? Stays home, community college, college, a job or whatever. But you got another year under the roof, right?
Correct.
You got a short-term answer here and a long-term answer. And the long-term answer is she's got to be in such healthy community with you for a year that you require as a mom, honey, as long as you're with me in this last year, we're going to have groups and 12-step and church things and high school groups, and there's going to be a mentor and a lady who's a great mentor in that high school group, but I'm requiring that. My wife and I, we're just entered empty nesting, and we required our kids to be in small group, and we require them to be in group in church, and we require them to have mentors. And if anybody says, well, give them a choice at 14, call me because I think that they're insane. You got to tell her, you know, just like taking out the trash, I want to make you be around healthy people. Jesus said, if you kick a demon out of a house and you don't put some good stuff in, seven more are going to come back in. So this girl's heart's got to be full of healthy, growing people. That's the long-term answer, because then she'll realize the guy's a control freak like Sherry was picking up, and I don't like him. The short-term answer is, no, you can't spend time with him. He's off limits. Your life is in jeopardy, so I'm just being a parent here. And if she starts acting out and sneaking around and doing rendezvous, then you're going to have a different problem. That's when you bring curfews, and do you need to go back to residential care again? But no, you protect those four walls of your home, and you protect your daughter from this guy. That's what grown-ups do.
All right. And then after you've done that, you realize that's not going to fix your daughter.
Right.
She really needs some help.
We'll send boundaries with teens. That's a good start for all that.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's hard for parents to know what it's like because it's the first time, right?
Yeah.
And there's a part of just having to trust the process. The people that she's with right now get eating disorder, and they're going to be other kids her age talking about it and why she's going in thinking, I don't need to be here. Usually what happens is they hear that I do need to be mm-hmm. here by the end of their term. And
it's a culture. They develop a culture of health.
Yeah. And then she stays in that culture going forward. You know, those kids that I'm working with that have those issues, I have them in a weekly eating disorder group when they come out, or, you know, because it helps them keep sober, honest with themselves, and getting their feelings out without shame. So,
okay. Yeah. If you have a child with an eating disorder, one or two things are not going to fix it. It is such a complex
problem.
You're
right.
And it's going to take a whole bunch of things coming together in a healthy way. All right. Sherry is going to be doing the Women in the Battle workshop for women who have been connected with, in some way or another, somebody that struggles with sexual addiction or pornography. That's going to be in September. We've never done it before. It's going to be spectacular. I hope that you will call us right now.
What part of the country is it in?
Where is it going to be, Steve? I'm just showing up.
And even though we don't know where it is,
no,
I'm telling you,
this is awesome. That's
why I was
asking.
This
is
great.
I should know that, but I just know I'm showing up.
We'll figure it out.
Hey, but come. We want to have you come, really.
And then in Philadelphia, July 22 through the 24th, I'm doing the Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend. And if you want to transform your life, make some choices that will lead you to healing versus stay in the hurt, well, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Also, this is a ministry that's supported by listeners. And if you're a listener and you've never supported us before, would you ask God if that would be something that He would want you to do? If you've benefited from the program and you've just never gotten around to calling us, doing what is needed to continue to keep us on the air and for you to feel good about your support, then just call us at 1-800-NEW-LINE.
Can I make a point about that, Steve?
Do.
Sometimes our listeners don't know that if there's not enough support in an area, that goes away. So if you like the show, people who are in that area support it. So you've got to kind of take some ownership on a community, and then it stays on the air.
Right.
We've lost a few stations, right? And so
we pick them up and we lose them, and pick up and lose them.
And if you're watching on television, we really need you to step up and say, okay, it's worth it for me, for you guys to stay on television. Hey, we love you here. We care about you. We pray for you. Every week we take time to pray for you. We're so grateful that we get to talk with you just for a few minutes every day, and hope that this is going to be a great day for you. Trust God, even though you may not feel His presence, He is there for you right now.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.